Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on, come on.
I'm gone.
Good evening and welcome to the Care to Read Room. Thank you so very much for joining our session today. And once again, we're bringing you Indigenous Religious Part 2. And for those of you who are not familiar with our routine here, we'd like to invite you into our chat room. Our chat rooms will be open shortly. And for those of you who would like to post in our chat room, go right ahead and do so. And for our old guests, we say, what's up? And to our new guest, we say, Habari Gani, welcome, welcome. Once again, how is the African family today? And the response should be, feeling good and feeling strong. And then I ask, and how are the children? You said the children are getting even stronger. Once again, the Africans speak with one collective voice, and we are one people, because we now know that we're Indigenous people. That's right. You don't have to call us Black anymore or African Americans, but we're Indigenous of this nation, meaning that we were one of the first founding nations here. And there were many tribes and many clans. I don't know if I told you this. As a matter of fact, I came from a clan right here in Gary, Indiana. There were 18 of us, 11 girls and 7 boys. Why do you think I've been putting so much accentuation on tribes? Because I came from a tribe, and that tribe consisted of 3 different families who came together, who all of them were sharing the bloodline of Native Americans, some Blackfoot and some Seminole. Now, we've been researching our heritage. Now that we know who we are, we can better present ourselves. And we're collectively coming together on one accord in a group call to talk about how do we have our DNA examined to determine what percentage of Native blood do we carry. It's very important. Don't think it's strange. We want to find out how we can get a piece of our heritage. We don't want to leave our heritage here for someone else to claim. Now, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to some of my shows on demand. I've been talking about it for the past 6 months now. Now, today's topic is going to be a rather interesting one for the Christians out there. My question is, was Jesus an Indigenous individual? And was he from the Native tribe? And if so, which tribe was he from? I'm sure the Jewish people will say, oh, you know he was from our tribe. We're the chosen people. Everybody's claiming to be the chosen people these days. But who was the original people who were first here? It sure wasn't the Jewish people, unless they were the Black Jewish people. Because everything that was of color had to come from the original maker. And when you find a lot of mulatto people who share a bloodline with the Native, but they now also share a bloodline with the French as well as the Mexicans, then they are the mulatto. They are the children of the Native tribe. Now, what about the religion? How do you determine what religions are Indigenous? First of all of your religion comes from your culture. You cannot practice a religion that doesn't come from your culture. So you're saying only Christianity didn't come from our culture? No. Christianity is a fairly new religion on the scene. It did not come from Africans' culture. Now, the religion of Isis may have, but it was sure wasn't the same religion you're practicing now. So what are you doing then if you're practicing Christianity, you're practicing an abomination against your ancestors, and you are not favoring your ancestors. Because just because you say, well, Jesus was one of our ancestors, yes, he was. He probably was Oromola out of the African tribe, which they call Jesus, but they couldn't have been calling him Jesus because during that time that Jesus walked the face of this earth, the letter J, now listen to me and hear me good. The letter J did not exist. The letter J wasn't created until the 1600s, so his name had to have been something else. Possibly Yeshua. Check it out. It's important to do your homework. Have you read a book today? I encourage you to pick up a book and read, and don't say, I believe, because your belief means nothing. You have to be able to present the facts. That's what we're about in this room, trying to find out and decipher some of the lies that they've been telling us in these churches. That's right. They read the Bible at face value and never use their various different dictionaries and try to decipher the Peshitta language to determine what exactly and who were they talking about and what religious was this. Now, I want to say this to you. First of all, you must remember that if you're practicing a religion that has no identity with your culture, now there are 11 religions that are identified and that are recognized in the nation. However, they have demonized traditional African religion and they've excluded it from the list. Wouldn't you know it? The very religion where all religion came from, how are you going to exclude the root? You cannot kill the root. Just like Toussaint Louverture said, you might try to kill the root, or you might try to kill the tree, but the root will spring up, and its roots will grow deeper and deeper. So you cannot kill African traditional religion. You cannot wipe it out. It has a place, and it has deep roots, and it will spring up every time. And we're going to be talking about it today. Just like you probably said, oh, stay away from that voodoo religion. Those people practicing witchcraft, stay away from voodoo. They practice magic, and those people are going to put a spell on you. Stay away, stay away. False information again. You've got to stop with all this false information about African traditional religion. And here we're coming today to clarify what it is that you have been misteaching and a misnomer about voodoo religion. Did you not know that voodoo comes from Benin? That is where it's heavily concentrated in the Dahomey tribe. Say it with me. Dahomey, D-A-H-O-M-A-Y, Dahomey. That's where it originated, the voodoo tribe. And the voodoo faith is one like the others, like Ifa. They have a set traditional religion that is similar but different names. Now, I am from the Yoruba tribe, and our tribe is identical to voodoo with different names, the same process, the hierarchies and the deities and the orishas, the same process. Now, if God is so omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing and all-powerful and great, like the sun, for example, let's give an example of God being like the sun, full of fire, like combustion, like ratified energy that runs across the table because he cannot be seen because he's full of frequency. Now, that would mean that you cannot approach God. What are you saying? The same God that created this earth is ratified energy. He never told you that you would commune with him, and he never told you to commune with him. That God that created the universe is ratified energy. You cannot approach him. And yes, there's a hierarchy here. There is Akamare, the name of the true God, and there are three other names that represent Akamare: Ilede and Oludulamare and Ile. And Olorun. Now, Olorun is the only one that can be clothed in matter. He is ratified energy, or she or it is. We never say he or she. We say he or she or it is ratified energy, but in Olorun, he's clothed in matter so it or he can approach you. And that is placed on your head so you commune with that God on a daily basis, and that is the one you interact with. But you never interact with Olorun by himself or by herself or itself because it's ratified energy. Then you have Oladulamare. Ola Dudumare is not the ratified energy. He is not the high frequency, but he is approachable. Now, why do you suppose that there are three representation of Akamare? Because God is so vast. He's everything, and there must be expressions of him or her or it. Now, let me take a station identification before I give you the whole gist of this, and we're coming back at you shortly. Now, go out and listen to those ghetto dreams, and we'll wake you up in a second. Hold tight.
I toss and turn, candlesticks in the dark. I was whipping the hard, I was getting the bras. They like, who the hell is that? I was dealing sacks, you looking at niggas that drove the hell and back. Charismatic, I was raised by an addict with money in the attic. Got guns while you at it. At this present time, I'm out of my mind, and that's a habit. Still got them waiting in line, they gotta have.
Last night was the first night I got to leave. Tossing and turning for 2 or 3 weeks. Oh, my nightmares are triggered by bad memories. Oh, Lord, send me an angel right now while I'm having ghetto dreams.
Cold sweats, listening to the old sweat. 1, 2, this a whole check. Not for real, nigga, this a whole check. Just horsing around polo sweat.
Yeah.
Used to dream about a bigger couch. Woke up in a bigger house. Come on, calmer than my bank account. So much money, I had to let the bank account.
Last night was the first night I got to leave. Tossing and turning for 2 or 3 weeks. My nightmares are triggered by bad memories.
The world stands still. Yesterday your little man got killed, and all he ever wanted was a bankroll. But he died too young, cause the game's cold. Most niggas ain't no, or they just think slow. Once you get in, you got to leave, but you can't though. Cause greed'll make a motherfucker evil, to the point he's down your ass when he see you. Let's take that needle, fill it with poison, inject the ghetto with the drug. Paranoia got you looking at your homeboy sideways. Ain't no honor among thieves, is it nowadays? They tell me crime pays, but I don't think so. Cause every criminal I know is in the clique, yo. A nigga in the game right now must be working for them people, cause that shit play out.
I lay awake in my four corner room, and a candle.
Welcome back, family, and thank you so very much for joining the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome you to an all-new feature show where we're talking about the indigenous aboriginal persons as well as those religion belief systems. Now, we just finished talking about briefly about the Dahomey tribe and the Voodoo religion, and I indicated to you that we're connected. All of us are interconnected, and right there in Nigeria, in the capital, where they actually practice Yoruba, the tribe is there, and their belief is Ifa, and they're similar to each other. And we're going to be talking in depth about the religious practices as well as the dance and the celebration, the rituals that they induct, where there are priests and priestesses who are inducted into this particular organization. Now, the very important thing I want to remember, the question I asked early, who was Jesus? And who does Jesus represent in our African faith? I say he represents Olomola, and he was at the right hand of God when he created the earth, if you want to make him parallel to Christianity. But Christianity is a brand new faith. It's a very young faith, and all religious came up out of Africa, so we had to be the first indigenous people. Now, I want to get into some deeper depths about that, and I brought someone here as a guest who's going to venture out on our red carpet today to be able to be our expert spokesperson on the Dahomey tribe and on the Vodun faith. This particular person's name is Osumi Trontond, and her name also is Posovi, and that's K-P-O-S-I-V-I with the silent K. Now, we're going to call her Posovi today. Or if she prefers, Osumi. And she is a priestess Osumi, and she was initiated and trained by one of the original founders of Africa traditional religion. His name is Chief Medahochi Kochief Wali Zanu. He is a father of many different priestesses here throughout the diaspora. He is a well-known priest and Reverend and Chief. Now, we are proud to represent Chief Medahochi, and we are in the process of making his name known and developing things here in the diaspora that people can remember him by, whether it be a garden or whether it be training centers or whether it be a music and dance center. That is what we're about to do as we talk about the indigenous people and where they came from and what they represent to us. As Africans, we must remember we can no longer use the term black because it is an adjective. It only describes us. We are a people. We are a noun. So we want a more descriptive location of where we're from on the map. And we also want to relate ourselves to different aspects of Africa. If you haven't joined a clan yet, find a clan you can join, because I do believe that the United States Army is going to start recognizing indigenous people, and you want to be in that number when they do decide to give us our benefits. Now, right now, I'm going to slow this thing down, and we're going to invite Mrs. Osumi, Priestess Osumi, to the microphone, and we're going to ask some questions and have discussions about the religion of Vodun. She is the expert witness here in this classroom, and we don't have to assume anything about Vodun. We have someone here who is an expert that can give us in-house residency information. So we're going to invite her to the mic right now. Hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. I'll bring her right into the atmosphere.
Alafia,
good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon, Priestess Osumi. How are you?
I am fine. I'm glad that you have asked me to join you as someone who might be able to shed some light. I will not claim the title of expert. I have a lot to learn. I look at myself as a student of the religion because I'm still learning. I've been a priestess for 18 years, and I was initiated here by Medahochi back in the, the late 70s, early 80s, into the study of the African traditional religions, where he combined the ideologies of the Yoruba and the Dahomeyan people into what we were studying as far as people are concerned. And that was a great experience for me because I don't know of too many others who have delved into that type of collaboration of the two religions. As far as the Vodun, yes, I was initiated as a Vodunsi in West Africa, Benin, West Africa, in the early 2001, 2002, that era. And a person who has done that on the continent, I have a different experience from those who would have done it here or in Haiti. But I'm welcoming anyone who might have a question about what's going on as far as my studies. Ashe?
Ashe. I am very interested in the general population learning as much as they can about the traditional religions, because there's been a lot of misnomers out there and a lot of incorrect information, because they view it as a demonized religion, all of the African traditional religion. I came out of Christianity and transitioned into Yoruba, into the Ifa faith, possibly to hold me too, because Chief Benahotu was also my godfather who initiated me and who also took me through 2 years of training. So what I'd like for the listening audience to hear is the information that might have been misconstrued about the life of a priestess and the fact that we are not casting spells. This is a very, very spiritual faith, and a lot goes into prayer, and it is something that we must look at as being a solution to mend our broken world if we can embrace it as our own traditional religion. So can you speak on the aspect of the daily lifestyle of how one practices in this faith and how it is so uniquely put together? There is no devil that is following you, and there is no such thing as a devil in our particular traditional religion.
Okay. Well, that was a lot. Okay. All right. So, first of all, the question of devil, let me deal with that, because, you know, in everything, we believe that there has to be balance in everything. And the evil that is done is done by the person and not by the religion. Okay. So that happens in whatever religion or practice that you have. The idea of Ifa is to have balance in your life, to be a whole person. We understand that there's only one God, one true God, and whatever language you call it, it could be Olodumare, it could be Mawulisa, it could be Allah, whatever you name it, it's only one God, and we all have to get there the best way we can. Now, as a African traditional practitioner, I get up every morning because this is what I have to do, and I salute my shrine, and just Paul Shun is on my head, the mother of culture, love, beauty, and the arts, fertility, wealth, and those sort of things. I get up and I greet her every morning as a way of welcoming spirits into my life for that day. I also greet my ancestors. And you don't have to be a priest within our religion to understand that you should give reverence to your ancestors, because if you look at yourself in the mirror, you'll see that you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. Where did you get those eyes? Where did you get that nose? Where did you get that hair? Without the ancestors, you would not be here. And so we all, no matter what race, creed, or color we are, we have ancestors, and we have to give them reference if we want to move forward and have a balanced and blessed life, so to speak. And so the things that I do, is each person has their own individual relationship with their Orisha or Olodumare or God. And this is what I do. I get up and I salute my Oshun shrine. I also pay reverence to my ancestors and tell them what's going on in my life. We have conversation with us, even though they're not here in the physical, as you see each and every one of people around you, we know that the spirits are all around and about us, and we know that they can help us so they're on the other side, because they can see what we can't see, and they're closer to God than we are. And them being ancestors instead of orishas or deities who never had a physical form on this plane like us, never had the trials and tribulations that we have to live life the way we have to, the problems that we are faced with, the challenges that we work through, we can approach them for help and guidance, and that's what I do every morning. So those are the two main things I do. Now, of course, on a daily basis, there are rituals that you do to keep your home spiritually clean and to refresh the altars. But those are things that you learn as you get into the culture, as you start to study, as you become around people who are also doing the same thing. So I hope that helped a little bit.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much for that information, Oshumi. Ea, one of the things I want to clarify for the listening audience, I know I've been approached on several occasions and been accused of being, instead of being a monotheistic person, being a polytheistic, meaning that do you represent or acknowledge more than one God? And I've had to break it down, and we've created brochures now that we're going to disseminate to help the non-traditional person learn that there is only one God, and that's Akamare, and he is three manifestations of a state of Akamare, and Ola Rome is one of those states, Ilede and Ola Dulamare is the third, and they all have different responsibility, and it just as you know, as the sun is very, very hot, and it can't be approachable because of the ratified energy, I try to teach and use a parallel with that sun and say that Oromola, that Olorum and Ilede are ratified energy. However, Ilede is clothed in matter so that he can be placed or it or she can be placed on your head, because without that matter being clothed on that ratified energy, you couldn't approach the creator. He's not approachable. And Oladulamare was the one that was created where you could approach him in spirit, full spirit. So it's a hierarchy of some sort. Just like when God created this earth, he gave us dominion. He didn't come back here and say that he was going to come here and rule. And if he came here and rule and came close to us, we would not be able to approach him. That is why you have the three manifestation. And then Oromola is the holy prophet of Olorum, which represents the Jesus that we are talking about, our Lord and Savior. But if we use him, Jesus Christ, the Christ is just a title. And we have to understand that even the name of Jesus wasn't created during the time he walked the face of this earth, because that letter J didn't come about until the 1600s. So there's a lot of misnomers, priestess Osiomi, that we have got to correct for black people, because we're set in our ways of falsehood and we don't understand. And what we don't understand, we demonize it. And traditional religion has, African traditional religion has been demonized. It's not even listed with 11 religions, and we've got to do something about that. So what do you think we should be doing to make it more plain and clear to Africans who would like to practice in their own traditional faith? What can they do?
What I say to people who ask me what to do, and I try to break it down, because to go through all those names that are in a foreign tongue to most of us, I try to keep it as simple as possible. And the first step that anyone should take is to pay reverence to your ancestors. And in doing so, once you develop a personal relationship with your ancestors, they will guide you to what you should do next. And that is a simple thing that anybody can do. They can have a picture of a person. And even if you don't have pictures, you could have their names listed. If you are female, you will start with all the people on the female side of your family, and you would list as many names as you could from the closest one to you who has made that transition to the ones that are further off in your family line, and then you would go to your father's side and do the same thing. And all you have to do is have a simple one would be a glass of water and a candle and a picture, and that'll be and you're done. That's the simplest way. Of course, you know that we have both of us, in which we have 7 to 9 glasses of water and different liquors and things that our ancestors may have enjoyed when they were on this side, and we offer that. And we know that they don't drink these things, but we offer them as a way of saying, yes, we understand and we respect you, that you are on the other side.
Now, even though priestess, we know that they don't drink these things, but we know they require energy. So in giving them food, we know it would nourish their bodies and give them strength in order to assist us.
Exactly, because everything is energy. And that's what we call triangulating. We are one part of the triangular energy that's being experienced at that time. your energy plus the food energy, water energy, and the spirit that comes to be refreshed.
And the other thing, listening audience, that is so detrimental that you should understand is that you're not worshiping your ancestors. You're communing with them, and you're remembering them to help you complete the greater circle so that you're more powerful in your efforts to make an appeal to the higher force. They're still present. They're with you. So we're going to take a moment here to acknowledge our ancestors and pour libations to them. If you don't mind, we're going to ask you, Priestess Osumi, if you will participate in this ritual. We do a ritual in this room, and we talk about how to set up your shrine, which all of that is on demand, and a lot of you have been able to follow me. So today we're not going to deviate. We're going to just do our libation, and we'll do it quickly, and we'll ask if you have names of ancestors that you would like to submit and call their names out, and you know the routine. Once you call them out, we say Oshe. So I like to pour libation today to my head, my yeye, which is my mother, Yaminye, and I say Ashe. And is there one that you would like to, your mother spirit, that you would like to call on as well? If there is someone that would like to call on. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I have a list of them, so I would
Okay, well, we're gonna do our mother and our father spirit. Would you like to do your mother spirit?
My mother is, well, she has many names. I'll say Primacy Oshun Family on the Curly Perry.
Okay. And that, I mean, for the Orisha, we're going to say, what's your Orisha's name on your mother's side?
Okay.
Well, then, what is your Orisha for your yeye? That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, okay. I'm the daughter of Oshun. Is that what you're getting
at? Oshun, okay. You say... Okay, now I would like to do the father on my father's side, and that is Obatala Ashe. And would you like to say anything?
Okay, and the thing is, in some traditions, and everybody does things differently, but we don't necessarily mix
we're counting down, and we're just trying to show the listening audience. Normally you would do your own, but because we got on here late, we're trying to speed up this. So I would do Obatala, and most of you know how I do this, and I say Ashe. Now, if you'd like to call out any heroes or sheroes at this moment, you can call those names out. Nina Simone, Ashe. We could say Dr. Martin Luther King, Ashe. Sweet Coretta King, Ashe. Dr. Carruthers, Ashe. Maya Angelou, Ashe. And if you have others, do you have any that you would like to call?
Marie LaVeau, Ashe. Marie LaVeau. Catherine Dunham.
Ashe.
Yeah.
Okay. And Nelson Mandela, Ashe. And ladies and gentlemen, we do this to remind ourselves that these people have never gone anywhere. We do not believe in death. That frequency that vibrates unto the grave is still vibrating. That energy goes back to where it came. You cannot kill energy, nor can you recreate it. It goes back to its source. So the energy frequency is still here with us. That is why we're calling these names of the people. They can still exist in the spirit realm. And we have to remember that things that we do in the spirit realm are lasting. Those that are done in the natural are temporal. So as we do our libation, we pour libations to the east, and we say Ashe. Pour libations to the west, say Ashe. And our time is coming up on it. Pour libations to the north, Ashe. Pour libations to the south, Ashe. Now, normally I would do this a little bit slower because I see them putting the time up there. I'm trying to get this ritual in. Now, I would like to do a dedication for the indigenous people all over the land in a small, short, brief prayer. I do believe that we are lost and disconnected because we don't know ourselves. We tend to use the word black to describe ourselves, but we're burnt-skinned people. And once we reconnect ourselves back to the greater force and know that we are indigenous and aboriginal people, we can then claim our birthright. And right now, we're in a land where we don't belong, and we're outside of ourselves, and we are not connected to our birthright. And in doing these seminars, this is an effort to bring us in enlightenment so we can connect ourselves to the natives and the same benefits and the same sources they've been given in land, monies, and all type of monetary things. We want those things. In other words, we want our reparation, and we aim to get it. And if we have to bring the women forth to talk about our indigenous heritage, we will do that. And we don't ask, we're demanding at this particular point that all the forces to be will line up with us, and even the ancestors will fight for us to open every door that we might receive our allotment that is our birthright. And our birthright will be right here in front of us, and we can grab hold to it and take it by force by any means necessary. And this is our prayer for the community, that we come into enlightenment of who we are and not continue to call ourselves adjectives and describe ourselves, but know that we are connected to a body of land. And that land resides right in Africa, making us shareholders and recipients of all benefits here in this America that we have built and we have structured. No Native American that is a mulatto should be taking our place, as Johnny Come Lately, stepping in our place. And we must stand up and claim our heritage. No more of this blackness or American, because American will colonize us, and we do not want to continue to colonize ourselves. And I'm full of the spirit today because I'm really concerned about how black folks who are using this term are losing. They're losing in the courtroom. They're losing in their communities. They're losing on their job just because we have simply described ourselves in an improper manner. So we're going to lose that title black. We're going to lose that title American, but we're going to claim and lay hold to our land because the land belongs to the people. We're going to ask another question of you, and I know we didn't talk a lot about Vodoum, and that is the religion that's demonized the most, and I really feel bad because most people think that, you know, God created that religion to actually torment us with spells and the whole bit, and you find white people coming to you asking you about Vodoum because they want to place a spell on somebody. Spirit realm will not accept you using this religion detrimentally to other people. It will come back on you. And I would like for you, Priestess Osumi, to speak on the way Vodoum is properly used and talk about the fact that how people cannot use it as demonized procedures for correcting problems or using spells on people.
Hmm. Okay, well, the word Vodoum, V-O-D-U-N, as it originated in Benin, West Africa, was an appellation. It was a name given that meant God. So those things that emanate from working with that energy of Vodoum is supposed to be godlike, those things that lift you to your highest and best self. Now, I noticed that my sister Omiyinka was saying that we don't do spells and we don't do that. We don't condone doing spells. There are people who will use anything for its negative purpose. That is out there. What we would like to put forth to you, though, is that we want to use everything that we have in our arsenal for the good, for the higher development of everybody, for the consciousness of people that want to move forward and do better and treat each other the way they would want to be treated themselves. Basically, Vodoum is the practice of revering God in its best form. In your life, and the only way you can do that is to be the best person that you are. You can be. You strive to treat people well. You strive to do your best work. You strive to look your best and represent yourself as the goddess and God that you are. And basically, that's it for right now. That's the shorty of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard me throughout the year teach on Iwapelu, which is good character and good conduct. And the utmost respect is given to good character and good conduct throughout the African traditional religion. And this has been the center of what our religion has been made of and a life of prayer. So you will find a great number of priestesses who conduct themselves in good conduct and good character, a great number of them. However, some do not. And please do not look at those who do not and who will take money to do things that are negative and say that that's how all priestesses are, because some priestesses understand that Iwapelo is very important and that we must conduct ourselves in a manner that's pleasing with the higher force. And whatever we do collectively, we do it for the higher force. So it's very vital that you should not, listening audience, look upon the traditional religion as if that we have a lot of confusion within our tribes. And tribal people are going to have clannish ways, and each clan will conduct themselves differently. And I speak to you constantly about being a part of a tribe. If you take five arrows and you bundle them together, and you take one arrow out, that arrow is easily broken. But when you take those five collectively together, a two-fold cord is not easily broken. And that's why we have to come together in a communal stage, because what we're doing as an individualized person is never going to work. We are because we are, and I am because we are. And if I do not have the ability to lift you, then I cannot be. And the children even of African religion believe that they will start together and they will finish together. It's a collective viewpoint. And that's what we're missing here in the land of United States of America. Everyone is walking around with an individual view, but Africans do not function in that way. When I say, how is the African? You speak collectively. The African is strong. And then if I say, how are the children? You said the children are getting stronger. You speak collectively for the whole clan so that we represent like the Native Americans did. And that's why they run with their constitutions. And when they had their sovereignty, they won because they did not want allotments. They did not want to be separated as individual, because that's how someone can break you down when you are standing alone. But collectively, join in on clans, join in organizations that are teaching you traditional belief system will make you strong. And there is something in Ifa that will mend our broken hearts. And as we come into understanding, we know that Ifa is a solution for all time problems for the world. And if that is the case, our creation story is different. And you must learn that creation story. It's not when Adam and Eve came on the earth. That is not the beginning of our inception. We was here long before Adam and Eve. So you've got to learn your own original creation story. There's a lot that you are not learning because you're being Europeanized in the Christian faith. Now, is it all bad? No, there's some truth there. But you are going to have to understand that that book became mutilated and it is not completed. And there are some scrolls that were left out. We don't walk around with the Bible in traditional faith. We go and remember the Odus, practice the poetry of Odus, and we recite the Odus. There's something called divination that we all, as priestesses, learn to practice the Odus so that we can help people in the time of trouble. But we don't walk around with the Bible spurring out scriptures because it's not necessary. That was a story and a history of a time back when. But we need to have a clairvoyant look into the future and to be able to bring our children into the world and be able to look at the purpose on their head and what purpose they came here. Our children should go through naming ceremonies. Our children should also be dedicated. And our children should be in a phase of understanding how we commune with nature. Our religion is to commune with nature. If you're not communing with nature, then you're in a false religion, because God wants you to be responsible for what he's put here, and in everything you see God throughout nature. So it's very vital that we get this understanding, and the whole purpose of me bringing this forth is for my sister to come here and to talk about her dance as well. I want to talk about the dance and what's in the dance and the drumming. I'm getting excited here.
Okay. I really don't know what you want me to say about the dance, but this is one of the things that I enjoy as a vehicle of getting in touch with the spirits around and about me. Now, I've danced since I was a young child, and it was only in my late teens that I started to embrace the African dance. At that time, I